River Church. Well, it's so good to be part of your gathering this morning. Now, I know it's a significant day because Colin is shaving off his beard, so I can't wait to see that. You know, as I was thinking about you and I was preparing for this talk, I went for a walk along our local canal and I kept on walking and eventually the canal became a river. Now, the sun was out and shining on the water and it literally looked like the river was shining. And I got this phrase, river, it's time to shine. And then, of course, reminded of those verses in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Let me read them to you. You, river, are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. River, it's time to shine. We know, don't we, there's a direct correlation between letting our light shine, not hiding Jesus, not hiding the source of our living our life well, and then seeing people come to find Jesus. As they see goodness, as they see the kingdom of heaven practically outworked, they will turn their face towards the Father in heaven. River, it's time to shine. You know, I'm so encouraged that even with all the challenges and the losses that lockdown has brought us, one huge, huge gain has been how much more rooted we are into our localities. You know, where we live matters to God. We've been forced to reorder our time to be far more local. Many of us have been working from home. Our weekends have been based at home. Our leisure and entertainment have been at home. And I do believe that this new rootedness into our localities gives us a much greater opportunity to let the light of Jesus truly shine. We're not hidden away anymore. You know, in our church buildings or our conference centres, we're not consumed with events and programmes. We're visible, we're available, and we're letting our light shine. And there's three main ways, I think, that we are more rooted into our localities. Number one, we're more rooted into our localities relationally. And, you know, neighbours have become friends. We know the names and we know the stories of those names. And many followers of Jesus instinctively have been the community creators and the community builders within their streets and their neighbourhoods. It's what we do, isn't it? Our road is called Toot Hill Road. And I knew as the first lockdown began back in March 2020, you know, that we needed to be able to connect people together. So I just put notes through doors and on Mother's Day, put flowers on doorsteps, again, inviting people to be part of our Toot Hill WhatsApp group. And initially, you know, there are a few people. Now there's 46 people who are on our WhatsApp group. And when, you know, the group started to build, I remember thinking, you know, we need something that can help to turn a bunch of strangers into friends. And so started with a bit of light-hearted fun with something called Toot Hill's Got Talent. And we had 9 different entries of people on our WhatsApp group with a wonderful array of talent, including magic shows and karaoke and DIY skills and drumming and even a dog doing tricks. And I knew this, I knew that in people making themselves a little bit vulnerable and kind of putting themselves out there, that it would generate a response of encouragement. It would generate a response of people, you know, honouring each other's efforts, of sending congratulations. And that's the very atmosphere in which friendships can be built. And so closely after the talent show, we then did the Great Toot Hill Bake Off, and where 13 different show-stopping cakes were made, dropped off at my house. I took photos of all the mouth-watering entries, sent them round to the whole group to build anticipation. Then we took these cakes round to 5 different assigned judges, one of whom was the oldest person on our street, Ron, who lives just a few doors down. And so the judges' results were coming in and anticipation was building. And then we announced the 3rd and the 2nd and the 1st place. And up until then, the bakers' identities had been secret. So at that point, they revealed who they were. And again, messages of encouragement and congratulations abounded. Then after that, we did the best gift of the week. Like many of you, we did the VE street party. We did a great front garden giveaway because everyone was decluttering. So we just put everything we didn't want in our front gardens and said, just take what you want. Well, you know, we did a social distance picnic. And then one activity that I particularly like, we made hanging baskets for anyone who wanted them. And so that just filled our street up with colour and with beauty. And then perhaps my most favourite moment of all, we did a moving thank you to the legend who runs our corner shop. You know, this guy, in order to keep both his customers and his family safe, he chose to live in the flat above the shop. And he hand delivered groceries to anyone who was shielding once the shop had closed. He really went over and above the call of duty. And as a result, the gratitude in the surrounding streets around the corner shop was just immense. So a few of us neighbours schemed together as to how we could thank him. And one who's very creative made a great big thank you card with blank pages inside. And so I invited then all the other neighbours to write handwritten notes of appreciation, specific appreciation for Paul, who runs our shop. And so all those little notes were coming through the door, and I stuck them onto the blank pages, and this big card was becoming a book. And then we thought it'd be wonderful to bless him and maybe to raise some money so he could take his family out for a treat, you know, when he was able to. So I thought maybe we might raise about £100, but money kept on coming through the door. We raised £500. And so on a prearranged day, it was one of the last days of doing the NHS clap. We all stayed out. We knew what was going to happen. He didn't know. And so I walked towards him. People began to clap and cheer. And I presented him with this gigantic card of thanks, some £500. And it was amazing. Everyone whistling, cheering, you know, and it was just a beautiful moment of feeling like heaven was touching earth. Now, I know you will have your own stories of what's gone on in your streets, in your neighbourhoods, but I just want to say to you, don't stop investing. It matters where you live. God is strategic. There's something about preparing for another great awakening, which is to do with the relational connection that God has been given us. It's an opportunity, you know, that we've never been given before. River, it's time to shine. Continue to build and deepen those friendships locally. So we're more rooted into our localities relationally, number one. Number two, we're also more rooted into our localities practically, meeting felt needs. Now, I know as a church, you run a wonderful CAP centre, and I know that there'll be all kinds of other ways that practically you will be meeting and serving the felt needs of your communities. You know, the church in the UK has massively stepped up and stepped forward in this area in really significant ways since COVID began. So much so, there has been a special commissioned all-party parliamentary report on the role that faith groups have played during the pandemic. The report is called Keeping the Faith, and subtitled Partnerships Between Faith Groups and Local Authorities During and Beyond the Pandemic. It received data from 194 local authorities, making it a really substantial piece of work. And the opening paragraph is brilliant. Let me read it to you. Collaboration between local authorities and faith groups has dramatically increased during the pandemic. The imperative of providing support to vulnerable families has overcome decades of wariness. Public policy had often implicitly assumed that religious faith was on the way out. That view has been harder to maintain. But still, religious faith was often seen to be irrelevant or possibly even harmful to community well-being. This fascinating report underlines that in Britain in 2020, faith groups have vital resources which are crucial for community well-being and which cannot be found anywhere else. We need our institutions to be able to work respectfully with people whose starting point is religious faith, and to tap into the moral perspectives and the experience of running practical initiatives which faith communities offer. All of us in Parliament need to take heed and to work out the implications of this for public policy. Wow, that's an amazing opening paragraph. And many local authorities in this report document their stories of working with faith groups, working in partnership, and it's overwhelmingly positive. And almost every local authority in the study endorsed a commitment to build on what has been happening and to deepen relationships, supporting long-term policy interventions and partnerships in ways that are different to what has currently been going on. So that, my friends, is amazing. It's like doors of opportunity are wide open for us to root into our localities practically. Trust has been built. So this is a time to build with local authorities. Find out what the greatest needs are and get trained up in how to meet them. This is a time to promote your CAP Centre. This is a time for those of you who are Christian business people and perhaps entrepreneurs to get serious about job creation. River, it's time to shine. So we're more rooted into our localities relationally. We're more rooted into our localities practically in meeting felt needs. But, you know, the wonderful thing about the gospel message, if we don't just have the means to tackle external poverty like loneliness or debt or unemployment, we have the very thing, the only thing that deals with people's internal poverty. So we can deal with both external and internal poverty, because ultimately the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And that's where the gospel message goes straight to. The kingdom that we express with our relationships and our practical serving has a king, King Jesus. And the single greatest gifts that you can give to anyone is an introduction to that king. The one who created them, who's got a purpose and a plan for them, who loves them more than they've ever been loved before, and who died for them. So we need to be more rooted into our localities spiritually, because it's the spiritual that deals with the internal. And I'm aware there's been more prayer walking of our streets than I have ever known. And I just want to say to you, River, keep doing that. If you've not started, start doing it. Because effective mission starts in prayer. It starts in getting God's heart for the people and the families behind the doors, asking God for insight as to what's going on. How can we pray for people? Asking God to show us who the people of peace are. That's a really strategic part of letting our light shine. People of peace are those who are warm to us as followers of Jesus. They are drawn to us, if you like. They are spiritually open and curious, and they're just, it's like they're sponges, and they are the people of peace that we need to identify. Then with all the relationship building that's taken place, I believe it becomes easier to share our faith, because when we share our lives, we share our faith. Don't hide your spirituality. Don't hide Jesus. So as a church, as Open Heaven, we've tried to think through ways to include and invite people of peace on our streets and begin to journey with the gospel message with them in relevant ways. So little things we've done, like at Christmas, we normally have a Christingle pack, and we thought rather than it just be those who would normally come to a Christingle, let's put all the components of a Christingle in a Christingle pack and invite our friends and neighbours to join in with our online Christingle and make one together. And of course, making the Christingle, it's deliberately designed to explain the gospel message in a simple and creative way. So loads of us gave out Christingle packs to our friends and neighbours. Then similarly, leading up to Easter Sunday, we thought we'd do something similar. We gave out Easter garden packs to our friends and neighbours who again wanted to join in with what we were doing online. And Easter garden making is a really easy way to explain the Easter story. So we just put invites onto our WhatsApp neighborhood groups and invitation to all those things. So River, what are the ways for you to just help people along their journey of understanding? How has God uniquely wired you to share Jesus? We all of us have got a different mission style. Some of us are invitational. We find it really easy to invite friends or neighbours, you know, to an online or an in-person gathering or event. Some of us, it's conversational. We find it easy to bring Jesus into conversation. Some of us, it's offering prayer. That, you know, I know very few people who will say no to an offer for prayer. What about running an online alpha course with just a few people of peace that you've connected with over the last 12 months? Running alpha online has never been easier. Fusion have got a website called Mission Styles where you can take a test and then you can find out how you instinctively and naturally share your faith. If you've never done Mission Styles, then I encourage you to do that because it creates confidence in you. You know, Acts 1 verse 8 says we're all called to be witnesses. And so God has given you the ability to do that. Maybe you just need to find out how. So we've got a fresh opportunity as church to be reset and resent. I think God is wanting to reset us around his mission. It is, after all, the reason the church exists. God's church doesn't have a mission. God's mission has a church. And a reset church is where mission is the organizing principle of how we operate as church, where our expressions of church are built around the outward focus callings and the passions of God's people. So as we navigate the complex journey out of lockdown, we have an opportunity to evaluate everything we do in the light of mission. River, it's time to shine, relationally and practically and spiritually. Let me read to you Matthew 5, 14 to 16 again. River, you are the light of your part of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house or on the street. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. River, it's time to shine.